So you think you're going to be able to retreat off-grid when the shit hits the fan and live like a wild man in the woods? Think again. You are going to die. Unless, of course, you watch this video, then you might have a fighting chance to survive what's coming. Let's talk about it. Do you want the latest emergency alerts? Subscribe to the Prepper News, link in the description below.
All right, guys, so we're back again with my protege gardening in Canada. I'm going to teach her a little bit about gardening today. All jokes aside, though, guys, this is the expert. You need to go and check out Gardening in Canada, blow up her Minect, which is an opportunity for you to get one-to-one consulting. Because I know a lot of you guys think that you're going to be able to survive the apocalypse. You're just going to go out, get a bag of seeds, throw, and some of the seeds are going to stick here and there, and you're going to have a garden a couple months later. That's not how it's going to work. You will fail. So before you build your off-grid apocalyptic retreat, make sure you consult with Gardening in Canada. She will abuse you. She will annoy you. She will drive you up the wall, but you'll be able to grow large potatoes. So, what do you think of the greenhouse so far?
Well, I'm looking at a very nice walkway, but beyond that, I'm not too sure. We'll find out soon, I guess.
See what I mean? Okay, well, let's take a little walkthrough. So, you see what we got going on here? We got some raised garden beds, built myself with my own bare hands.
I doubt that.
I did all the grunt work. We got video footage to prove it.
You got it pre-cut or what?
No, I cut it. I actually used a saw. I used a screwdriver.
You screwdrived all.
Oh yeah, manual. Who needs a lithium-powered Milwaukee 18-volt bit driver when you got these pipes? You don't seem impressed at all. Like,
well, I can already tell that you bought these peppers because there's tags.
All from seeds. I bought the tags. I asked the guy, give me some tags.
What was the brainchild behind the marigolds out of curiosity?
Somebody told me once, I think she was a redhead, and she told me that if you put flowers interspersed throughout the garden beds, that that's going to attract pollinators.
Okay.
Was she right or was she wrong?
She was right. I thought you were going to say something about like it prevents XYZ and blah 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 bug, which is false, but you actually listened.
Some of it's getting through to me.
Yeah, spacing's good.
The spacing is good. See, I thought you would have been like, those plants are gonna be a mile high, you're too tightly spaced.
I will say it's a greenhouse, so it'll stay warm, but if this was a raised bed outside, these would not produce as many peppers.
Why is that?
Just because the soil's too cold here. They'll just keep growing green and green and green. So.
What's this? What's going on here?
That is transplant shock. You've got some new growth on there, so it's not like it's dead, but you definitely did something to it.
What do you think of my irrigation? There's a manifold outside. There's four controls. It's all underground. Each plant doesn't have a dripper.
But it's just generic.
Pretty much.
Okay.
What? So you're not impressed by my irrigation system is what you're saying?
I mean, a two-year-old could do it, but it's good for you.
Let's just end this now. So I'm like a kid coming home from school to show his mom his report card, and you're mad because I didn't get an A, I only got a B+.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what this is. The amount of hours I've invested in you, and this is what I get.
All right, well, okay, so what could I have done better than, oh, omnipotent one?
If you had like those direct drippers, like there's sprayers you can get with like the really fine quarter inch line, and you could put it on each plant, and then it also will be flexible enough that every year you can change it. Or what you could have done is planted the peppers by each one of the holes that you have. This way it's fine, it's fine. You're just gonna have to flood it a little bit.
Well, here's why you're wrong. I've been told that if you put the water like elsewhere, the plant roots are gonna try to grow towards that water.
They will, yeah, they will. But you just transplanted these. So where are the roots right now?
Well, I was doing like spray water for a while.
Oh, you're also doing...
I was up until we had this done yesterday. I mean, until I did this yesterday.
Was there a wee in there?
There was some help.
all the cracking and stuff that you see, like the fissuring, that's just normal soil aggregation. The way you prevent that or stop that is to put some mulch on top, and then that will sort that out.
If you put it too close to the stem, is that gonna affect it?
Yeah, so you wanna do the donut, not the volcano.
So how would you rate on a scale of 10 my pepper garden bed?
This one, I think, unfortunately, is gonna probably be your best one, so we'll give it like a 7.5.
7.5?
Judging from my peripheral vision and what I've seen.
What about the herb garden? What do you think of that? Let's go over there.
Did you put straight dirt in that?
Well, I ordered the dirt, the triple mix.
I never said to put it in a container.
Why not?
Because it's way too heavy. That plant is gonna suffocate and die. A horrible death.
Holy shit. All right, so what do you think of this?
That's flowering. And when it flowers, it basically is gonna stop putting on foliage. So you need to be removing the flowers. Bye.
This is madness. What else you got for me? What other bad advice?
What'd you do to your parsley?
I don't know. What do we do to it?
From a distance, it looks like a fertilizer burn, but the leaves themselves are floppy, so it's gotta be something related to transplant shock. Those ones are yellow at the bottom. That may be a nitrogen deficiency. So I would watch that and then consider putting some nitrogen fertilizer on it. Wow, sweet potatoes. Like, no one can grow these in Saskatchewan.
Oh, really? So we're probably not gonna have success.
No, it's just they need a longer growing season. You have a greenhouse that'll probably, why are you growing so much parsley? Or is this cilantro?
No, you don't know what this is? Oh. Oh,
celery.
She didn't know what that was. I've always found celery to kind of taste salty. You know, I need my salt.
We have really bad aphids where we are, and so especially with the heat.
Yeah.
So don't be shocked if these are covered in aphids partway through the year. You may need to cover this. You have so many planted in one little area that it's like a little smorgasbord for aphids. That, or you're gonna need to get like ladybugs or something. You can buy ladybugs or praying mantises to come in.
Oh, that'd be cool. What do you think of my onions? Is this depressing or?
This is your 10 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah. You did two things that most people are incapable of doing. So number one, they're upright, which is impressive. Like, how long ago did you plant these?
About a week ago.
Okay, so that's very impressive. They're upright. Number two, because you know nothing, you didn't top them. So that is perfect because most people would actually cut a portion of this off because there's an old garden tail that if you cut the tops off, the bulb will be bigger. Now, the reason why that isn't true is because what do leaves do, Nate?
They have chloroplast and they absorb sunlight.
Wow, you even said chloroplast.
See, well done. There's a reason why I have 1.33 million subs.
The only thing you'll have to do is you'll have to spoon these. So you got to come out here at night and give them a cuddle.
What do you mean by that, though?
So actually taking like a spoon and digging out the soil around it. And that releases the pressure, which allows the bulb to get bigger.
What do you think of my tomatoes?
I think your cages are too small and you're going to regret that choice unless you put a string from here to here.
Okay, well, you always say that and my tomatoes never grow that big, so maybe this is the year. What do you think of my trellis? I'm the first person to ever do this in Saskatchewan.
What is trellising up them? Do you have seeds planted or?
Well, we got some beans coming in on this side.
Pole beans or bush beans?
I don't know, some kind of bean.
Watch them be bush beans. Do you know what kinds you have in here or no?
Mostly beefsteak. We got some the multicolored ones. We got some cherry tomatoes.
Anything that says paste tomato, don't prune it at all. Like, don't remove the suckers, leave everything on them.
I wasn't gonna do that anyways.
Okay.
Because I just assumed that I would put it in the ground and it would grow food.
You're sure you don't have fertilizer in here?
Nope. I wonder if it's the water.
I'm wondering too, if they've all got that and that it's just, now that I've seen a second one like that, I'm convinced that's not transplant shock. I'm convinced there's something around the roots. I don't mean to scare you, but it's giving me kind of like persistent herbicide type damage look. Did you transplant those cucumbers?
Yes, they were all like kind of pretty small.
So you got like a couple things going on. So that's mechanical damage. That kind of white, that cotyledon over there is meant to fall off. So that's like a normal kind of degradation. But then these floppy ones, that's all transplant shock. Okay. So cucumbers are that plant that just, they don't transplant well. They're very finicky, very fussy. So if you disrupt their roots, they usually get pretty upset. and you were talking about detangling them, so they're probably really upset right now.
Just like an issue with the wife, you just gotta ignore it, and the problem will get better.
Maybe. It depends. I would water them a lot. If you've got shade cloth, maybe just even put a little bit of shade cloth over them to give them some reprieve.
From the sun?
Possible. Yeah, don't let wind kind of like go over them. And they should bounce back because they're in such a confined space. Yeah. If they were outdoors, I'd tell you that it's done.
It's game over.
Yeah, it's not going to turn out well. So,
here's a general question for you. Is this space big enough to have enough food for a family of four?
People always ask this question. And the answer to it is, what do you eat? I don't know how many tomatoes you eat. I don't know.
The staple food, potatoes, are going out there. This is kind of like the, not the real calorie dense stuff, but all the fixins, you know?
Yeah, so if you like salsa and spaghetti and like that sort of thing, then you have a lot, but you don't probably have enough. If you like potatoes and french fries and that sort of thing, then again, you have to take that into consideration. Every plant is going to have different varying numbers of fruit. So for example, like your indeterminate tomatoes are going to have a heck of a lot more tomato than your determinate ones.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Fruit trees in a greenhouse. What do you think about that?
I think you picked the wrong fruit trees for a greenhouse.
Why? What kind of fruit trees do we need in a greenhouse?
Every plant is bred or designed for a specific growth pattern. So if these are, like these are zone 3, I would assume.
Some of them are 2A, but yeah, some of them are zone 3.
Well, that's even worse.
Well, we're zone 3.
No, we are zone 3, but this is not zone 3.
So this is zone 4 or 5?
This is like a microclimate. Yeah, so you need to treat it completely differently than you would outdoors.
So it's too hot in here is what you're saying?
It's probably going to get too hot, and then it's not going to get cold enough.
So maybe towards the end of the season or maybe mid-season, we move them into the orchard?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going on with that? Shock?
No, that's not shock. Oh, that is what I'm worried about. That leaf curling is a sign that something is wrong with the soil, specifically chemical-wise. Say, for example, because this probably will help people because people have probably been burned literally by this, is compost and manures that have persistent herbicides in them. So for example, Grazon, very common, that makes it into this. Their plants will start doing this. Now, the answer to fixing that is to add a nitrogen fertilizer, and that nitrogen will increase the microbes, and the microbes will go in and start decomposing the herbicide, because all pesticides are, there will be microbes that decompose them over time. So they will disappear. They all have half-lives. So to speed that process up, you would add more nitrogen to kind of help with that. If it's a situation where it's like too much calcium or whatever you think is up with the water, then you would flush the system. So you would water with water that is not, you know, that intense with chemical, and then you would just like flush it. And eventually, mechanically, it'll move out of the root zone. So that's kind of the two ways that you would treat that. A really good way to know which one it is would be probably to start with some nitrogen fertilizer. Apply it the way that...
Can we do that right now just so we... Like, can you show me how you would apply it?
I can, yes. You just sprinkle it on.
You just put it... You're like making it rain on the plant. In the apocalypse, I'm gonna come around. I'm gonna be the rain man.
Don't leave it on the leaves, because it'll burn it.
You were just haphazardly throwing shit around. I figured when I do it, it's a problem.
Yeah, these are heavy feeders, so I wouldn't be shocked if you have to do that more often. Probably, again, if you heat this, I would suspect that all these are gonna die.
This is an experiment. I knew you were gonna say, hey, why are you growing Saskatoon berries inside?
That's my exact voice.
That's what you sound like in my head.
If you don't heat this, then you can leave everything in here. You can even leave those in their containers, not in ground, and it'll be fine.
If I don't heat it.
You do not heat it.
What do you think about these strawberries here?
Okay, so this is your 10 out of 10 bed. I lied.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I'm an expert strawberry grower.
So what is the plan to get pollinators in here?
Open the doors. There was bees flying around here the first day when these were flowering, so.
Have you had eaten a cucamelons before?
No.
Oh, they're really good. They're very tasty. Oh, yeah, very tasty. I love those. They definitely need to be trellised.
All right.
They need something.
We got some trellises. Some wooden ones we're going to mount on there. Now, these carrots, me and Ashley had a little debate. We bought them in this thing, and they're all tightly packed together. And I was like, we got to transplant those because they're going to be too tight in there. And she's like, no, you just leave them in there and thin them out. And so who was right?
You're both right. So you thin them as in like you remove the excess right off the hop and then throw them out. Goodbye. The way I do it, I would thin them as I go and eat them as I go, but I would leave some strategically placed so that when, you know, it is fall, you do get carrots that are a little bit larger.
One by one, I individually, with my lab suit on, my tweezers, transplanted.
Yeah, so basically all you did thin in a way by putting them into like a bigger space. But yeah, no, you're both right. Technically.
What do you think of this stevia? Have you ever eaten stevia off the leaf?
It does not taste good off the leaf. You've got to like do some
try
stuff
it.
With it.
Sweet.
Just try a piece. Trust me. It tastes sweet.
Wow. That's actually not bad.
See? I taught her something. So what else? We got some lettuce, which is, you know, that's easy peasy. Do these ones have the advantageous roots? So if we bury these too deep, is that a problem?
Peppers don't have advantageous roots. Tomatoes have advantageous roots. Peppers have under-differentiated stem cell tissue, as does any plant. So when exposed to conditions that make roots, it will make roots, if that makes sense. It'll be fine, is basically what I'm trying to say.
We got some California Reaper, some Armageddon. Is it bad that we're planting those so close to the other stuff? In the comments, someone's like, you better not do that. I can't remember what reason they said that it might cross-pollinate.
Oh, yeah, no, they're going to cross-pollinate, yeah. A bumblebee's going to put its butt there and it's going to put its butt here and bam, you have a hot bell pepper.
What do you think about my kiwis? I transplanted them into the dirt that you hate. So we got two males and two females. How close do they have to be to each other?
They could be right next to each other, or they could be, you know, 5 feet from each other. It doesn't, again, the bumblebees will.
The bees will do their thing.
They'll do their work.
If I get a hive, I'd put it like maybe back there and they would just do their thing here, eh?
You could probably entice them even more by putting like different colored stuff in here, like purples and reds, just in general, because they will just come towards that color.
How much is too much in a greenhouse? Is shade not a problem in here?
One thing I will say is I've noticed that the sun is a lot more intense. So tomatoes that never used to get sun scorch in my yard now. And that's just happened in the last 3 years. So I actually have to install shade cloth going forward for that reason. So with that being said, you can put some hanging stuff up and then just leave them. And eventually you'll find out pretty soon whether or not you have enough light or not. And it may help you, because you won't need to put that shade cloth in. Whereas if it is really sunny in here, you'll notice some burning and some stunting, and then you'll have to install the shade cloth. But the containers that you use, you need to get like big, big containers and have a way to water them, because hanging containers, like, they will dry out very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, the kale's doing good. The lettuce is doing good.
Out of all the ones that you should have planted in a permanent position, rosemary, that would have overwintered in here and it will eventually become a shrub.
So should have planted in the garden beds, you're saying?
Yeah. Same with that lavender. That would have been another good one to put in the beds, because these are higher zones. Like, they're probably zone 5.
Okay. Do you want a piece of kale?
I'm good.
No?
No. All right, so here we are in the orchard that you helped us plant, this syntropic food forest. It's become more of an orchard, but there are still some food forest aspects to it. Now, you'll notice that I took the liberty of putting conifers all around the orchard. Last year, these plants got their asses kicked by the wind. So I have these conifers. What do you think? Is that gonna affect the soil? I know they're really closely spaced and they have an irrigation line, so they're gonna rock it up probably in a few years.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Because that's, it's leaves top to bottom, right? So that is a windbreak in and of itself. The only other option would be Caragana. But Caragana is way too aggressive and it will just take over the orchard. Okay. Then it would be too difficult to keep back. That's going to stay back. It doesn't turn the soil acidic, yada, yada, yada. That's all just all myth. That's a gardener myth. The reason why nothing grows underneath those types of trees is because the needles will fall off and they just continue to coat and coat and coat and coat. And then eventually you have needles that don't decompose sitting on the surface acting like a mulch. So it suppresses the light, it suppresses moisture, nutrients, all of it. So nothing will grow because of that factor. And that's the only reason why you tend to see that.
What the heck? Mischievous.
What are you, Ace Ventura over here? Cats walking around, dogs.
Check out this rhubarb. What was that quote that I told you? From Batman, never rub another man's rhubarb.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's gonna flower.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. It loves its life.
What's going on with this? Is something going on here?
It's not dead by any stretch of the imagination, but it is winter kill. You can see the soil here is cooler, so the soil is just warming up in this space, so it is waking up these buds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that. It's gonna come through just fine. It's just, you're out in the country, so it's just gonna be different. It's not going to be like the city, the concrete jungle. And you know, it's a good thing because Mother Nature knows how to do her job. So if a frost did hit, which sounds shocking, but it happens in our climate, the plant will be okay because it doesn't have the leaves or the flowers. Whereas in the city, we have leaves, we have flowers. If a frost hits, you're not getting any cherries, you're not getting any apples, you're getting nothing.
What about this here? With this deformed kind of growing pattern, is this...
Yeah, that's wild.
Well, it got roughed up last year by that wind. Because I'm not sure if you remember, but we had them out in pots for the first, I don't know, 2 weeks. And they kept falling over and breaking, so...
You could cut them back, but I would probably just leave it for right now. Yeah, I think everything looks normal. Your soil's just cold. Like, you made it sound like everything was dead. This is just... things waking up. It's just colder out here. Like this sort of stuff you have to weed, right? Because that's too much pressure.
Isn't the grass better than the weeds?
No, you've got fescue. So this is like natural prairie grass. So fescue roots go meters below ground and they've got big hairy root systems. So water and nutrients are immediately taken up by the grass.
So we have to uproot that grass or mulch it over.
Yeah, or just weed it, like just pull it or like put a black plastic around it or this stuff.
What about the clear plastic to burn it out?
You don't want to do that because you will burn your plant roots. Hey, you have asparagus.
I know. Asparagus is coming in.
See how interesting that is? Like you very obviously recently installed that black tarp.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. Those plants are still asleep, particularly on that side. And that's because they don't have the black tarp. So the soil took longer to warm up. And this is under that black tarp. And you can tell because all these plants are way farther ahead than those ones.
I mean, these ones aren't. This is just a bit of mulch.
No, but this just even this. Because you can look, like these ones are at a stage farther than those ones. And this side is exposed to greenery. These ones are even farther ahead than these ones because these guys got black on both sides. Like mulch is meant to cool the soil. But it works to our detriment in our colder climates because it will cool the soil. So it insulates it basically to keep it cooler. So what I oftentimes will do in my garden is I will pull all the mulch back once it thaws out enough, kind of just put it in a little pile in the corner, and that will allow the soil to actually warm up a little bit quicker. So
what do you think of my pride and joy? I think this is probably one of the nicer plants in here.
Which one?
This one here.
Oh.
Is that a cherry?
Yeah. Those are those ones that the University of Saskatchewan bred. Hey.
Oh, yeah?
They just do really well where we are. I have one, too.
Sour cherries.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think these are some of the nicest trees, the ones that were most successful.
All right, guys. Well, you heard it from her. 10 out of 10 all around. Perfect placement. Everything's good. We're going to survive the apocalypse. Am I right or am I right? I'll take that as a maybe. No, in all seriousness, no, you think I did pretty good here.
I think you'll be okay. I think seed saving is going to be an adventure, but...
That's for the future to decide. Uh-huh. Guys, if you want to get one-on-one consulting, I would strongly recommend pretty much any question. It's hard to stump her. I did it a couple times today, but in all seriousness, if you're somebody who you got it made, you got the land, you got all the stuff, but you probably don't know what you're doing. You need somebody like this. Okay, you gotta talk to her and she's gonna be able to help you actually do something that's gonna be sustainable and that's gonna work. Because I think a lot of my viewers, they have this idea. I know one person in particular. He's got all kinds of greenhouses in cargo containers. He's got all the tools and he's like, you know what? If the shit hits the fan, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna have all the time in the world to build it. What would you say to that guy?
He's gonna fail.
He's gonna
starve.
Oh shit.
Fine, he can do it. Can you grow something? Absolutely. Is it going to yield high, be good tasting? Can you save seeds from it? Like, no.
No.
There's just no way. That takes time and experience and knowledge.
There's a lot to know, but there's also like a lot of essential principles I've found that are kind of applicable across the board. We've done many videos with you now, so we're going to post links to all those videos. Go and subscribe to Gardening in Canada. She'll annoy the crap out of you, but you'll probably learn something.
You know, all your subscribers that come over, they say they like me more than you, so.
You can keep those subscribers.
I'll take them.
Yeah, those are probably all the old ladies.
They're probably the smart ones.
All right, well, I've sustained enough abuse for one day, so we're going to call it quits. Thanks for coming out. I greatly appreciate it.
We're handshaking?
I guess so. Do we fist bump?
We fist bump.
All right. Is that uncomfortable for you?
No.
All right. Thanks for coming out. Nice meeting your acquaintance. Until next time, Canadian Prepper out.
Don't forget, daily updates are waiting on the Prepper News channel. Link below.
The best way to support this channel is to support yourself by gearing up at CanadianPreparedness.com, where you'll find high-quality survival gear at the best prices, no junk, and no gimmicks. Use discount code PREPPINGGEAR for 10% off. Don't forget, the strong survive, but the prepared thrive. Stay safe.